So we arrive at this point in the year when we celebrate our harvest festival. And when you get to my age, it's get it in once and just once. I was saying as I came and said to David Lennox, as I came in, I said, you know, there's one smell I never expect to smell again in my life. And that is the smell of going into a country chapel or church decked for harvest. When literally at the front you could not move for carrots, green beans, apples, pears, vegetable marrows, chrysanthemums, dahlias, and all sorts of other produce. And the whole place was full. And there was a smell that just pervaded. It was just there at harvest weekend and at no other time. And we don't do it that way now. And yet still we can get caught up in the sentimentality. Let me show you what I mean. Seasons of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run. To bend with apples the mossed cottage trees and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core, to swell the gourd and plump the hazel shells with a sweet kernel, to set budding more and still more late flowers for the bees until they think warm days will never cease, for summer has o'erbrimmed their clammy cells. It's a lovely picture. I won't ask you who wrote it, but you all know it was Keats. But, you know, it sort of harvest festival goes together with that sort of image. But let's come to the words of Jesus, because he takes the image of harvest and says some important stuff to us. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. And I just want to make three points this morning, they are this: harvest, harvest, and harvest. Firstly, harvest thanksgiving. There is something innately wrong with us, and we just do not get God or begin to understand that he it is who creates and provides, if when we look at the wheat in the field, when we see the farmers out doing the harvesting, there's not some thanksgiving begins to rise from our soul to God, who has made this possible. He provides through the world and through the people he has created. We're all used to the fact that harvest these days looks quite industrial, lots of big machines. In other parts of the world, it looks rather different. It's all down to manual labour. Though, of course, it didn't look much different here a century ago. It was a case of people out in the field doing hard, back-breaking work. So we can be thankful, and we can be thankful that the harvest is, as Jesus says, plentiful. Around the world, we like our harvests. We like to thank God for the variety and the colour and the flavour of the things he gives us to eat. Whether it's here, or in India, or in the Philippines, doesn't much matter where. The psalmist says, you care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn. For so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. So thank the Lord. So thank the Lord for all his love. And if we are going to be a people who are true to our God, we will be a people who will acknowledge his goodness and acknowledge his provision. And one of the ways we do that is to say, God, you've given to us. Therefore, we want to give something to your purposes. And so we do something like giving the special offering that we have given today. But that also reminds us that there's a call of Jesus to harvest justice. Harvest justice. The harvest workers are few, says Jesus. And it's quite critical at harvest time, because harvest is time limited. There is a relatively short period when the harvest can be gathered in safely, when it has reached maturity, when it needs to be taken out of the fields, when it needs to be stored. And if it isn't, then the food rots where it is and is no use to anybody. So in rural communities, it very much used to be the case that when it was harvest time, everybody was out there involved in the harvest. We are unbelievably well provided for. This is a photo from the latest Morrison's store. It's Fresh Market, as it calls it. Just incredible, that vastness of availability to us. But then we hear the words of the psalmist who in Psalm 72 says, for he, that's the Lord, will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. For while we know that this is the sort of thing we can expect when we go to Sainsbury's or Morrison's or Tesco or Asda or Lidl or Aldi, better include the lot, you know, Co-op, Iceland, Soros. But we know there's another reality in the world, don't we? Where these children are not fat, that their bellies have expanded through hunger because of the gases that are in them. We live in a world where hunger is still a reality. Those nations in the dark red our nations where over 35% of the population do not have adequate supplies of food. And the others, obviously it goes down. We're in the silvery grey area, which means no problems. But we're aware, and the reality is, and we cannot sincerely worship God on a day like today if we forget that one in eight people, 842 million, suffer from chronic hunger. And the truth is, usually it is not the fault of those people. Oh yes, it may be the fault of their governments, it may be the fault of those who run the supply chains of food, but too often those things are run from the Western world rather than in the developing world. And Christians have long felt it was part of what we had to do, was to make sure that people were well fed. You cannot preach the gospel, you cannot share the good news of Jesus to people who are starving to death. And therefore we rightly hear the prophetic word come to us on a day like today. It is right that we give thanks, but it is also appropriate that we understand how much we have and how little others have, and as a Christian community are committed to doing something about that in our world. And we're aware that climate change is affecting these people more than it is anybody else. It is in those places in the world where there is lack of foodstuff that is being particularly hurt by drought and famine resulting from the way we pollute and misuse the environment we have. And we recognize a call to take a position on that, to be calling our leaders to a just settlement. A lot of people are saying, oh, isn't UKIP wonderful? UKIP wants to slash our overseas aid budget, much of which goes to exactly these sorts of people. There is a harvest justice, and if we do not hear, as we celebrate the provision of God, the fact that in our world, mainly due to the injustices operated by men and women, that some just do not have enough, in a world where there is more food produced, even now, with the population of the world, more food is produced than there is need for, and much goes to waste. Because although we can make missions to Mars, we can't work out how to fairly distribute food. It can't really be rocket science to do that, can it? So the harvest is plentiful, and we praise God for that. But there's also a call for men and women who have the passion and compassion of God to get out into the world and to make a difference, to say it is not good enough that so many are starving. But then there is another aspect of this message. And the three things seem very different, yet they all really spring from the same source. The last is what I've called harvest commission. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers, says Jesus. You can see the need, so ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers. He's particularly here thinking in terms of making the kingdom known, making the whole kingdom of God known, teaching the things that he has come into the world to share. And he said it needs workers out there. There's a harvest ready to be reaped, but it needs workers, just like the harvest in the field needs workers. There's a harvest of justice to be reaped, but it needs workers. And there's a harvest of the salvation that the kingdom brings to be reaped, but it needs workers. So he said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers, pray for them. And just to be absolutely clear, his next word is, go. You are my disciples, you're the workers. Go. No equivocation. Is up to you. The Message, translate that the same verse this way. What a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands on your way. We heard on that video from Ben Francis, that remarkable Indian pastor. He leads the work for BMS in India. He's been doing the job for 13 years. His movement has seen 10,500 churches planted in 13 years. Not 10,500 converts, 10,500 churches planted, many in very hostile conditions where people have been persecuted and have paid a heavy price, like the woman we heard who was not allowed to use the village well. Imagine, you haven't got running water, you need to go to a well to get water, but you're not allowed to go to the one in your community because you have now said Jesus is Lord. And one of the things that happens often is that these groups find that they can't get food. Nobody will sell them food anymore. And one of the things that BMS has to do is to sustain these whole communities of new Christians with the things that they need for living until they become established. But all out of that, Ben Francis comes up and he says, look, these are the important things that I've learned and I just want to share them with you people in Britain. He says, pray. Pray for your communities. Make contact. Deepen your relationships. Identify the people of peace, those people who perhaps haven't yet received the gospel, but who are welcoming of it being proclaimed. Be confident in the gospel. Share the gospel. Share your story. Wait for God to show up. Expect miracles. Do you remember that guy who said he was a Muslim? He got cancer, he got no hope, and he cried out in desperation that Jesus would heal him. He's now planted 50 churches because of what God did in his life. In a couple of weeks' time, we're going to start a new series. At the moment in the life of the church, we've got two things going on. One is the urgent, which is the big decision about what we do with our property. The other is the important, which is our outreach, making known the name of Jesus in Whitley Bay. And it's that which consumes me. And we've said that 2015 is going to be a year of outreach. A year in which we get our act together and make sure we've got our outreach happening and that we're thinking about it right. Not just so that we do it in 2015, but so we've laid down the line for years after that. And we recognize the significance of this. We're going to be starting a series, a fortnight today, called We Must Get Out More. There are going to be sermons and house groups based on the sermons running from the 12th of October through to the 30th of November. The house groups will be in a week after that, but don't worry about it. And we're going to ask, we're going to say we must get out more because, I'm going to try and explain why we need to get out more. And so we need to get strategic. We need to understand how people come to Christ and how we work within that. How it isn't just for the out-and-out evangelists. It's not just for the, where is he? I saw him earlier. John Hawksworth. Oh, there he is, yeah. It's not just for the Hawksworths of this world. This is something for everybody to be involved in. We all have a part to play, and I want to show you how that applies less painfully than you might think. And so, if we're going to get out more, we need to make connections. We need to learn how to serve. We need how to know how to share. We need to know how to grow so that we remain confident in our faith, and we need to pray and go. These are the things that we're going to be looking at this autumn. Harvest. Harvest should be a reminder to us that God's kingdom is here. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest demands justice. And the harvest needs workers like you and me. This God we worship is a creating God. He provides all that is. He created the trees. Every tree that grows has something of God about it and in it. The tree that was one day chopped down and sawed into two great planks that were fixed together and erected as a cross, and on which the Son of God was nailed, came from the providence of God Himself. Which reminds us that the God who provides the harvest is the one who provides the one who will save us from the greed and bitterness and jealousy and anger that creates the injustices in the world in which we live. And therefore, there is this direct link between the creating providence of God and His work of salvation in Jesus. And as we come this morning to share in bread and the cup, we remember what God has provided. And we say, thank you. Don't ever let me forget how much I have to thank you for, and therefore how much I owe you. So I hear when you say, workers are needed, and I'm one of them. Let's pray, and then we'll sing together before we move into communion. And as we sing the song, it's just a shortish song that Eric's going to lead us in. I want to invite those who are going to share the bread and the cup to come and join me at the table here. Father, we thank you for the harvest. We thank you for your goodness in creation. We thank you that everything we have finds its origin in you and in your creativity. Even the bread we will take in communion comes from materials and things that have been grown in the ground. The cup in which we share is the result of grapes growing on a vine. And Jesus, who we celebrate, is also given by you to meet our deepest need. for relationship with you, so that we can make sense of this world and live profitably in it. So meet with each one of us as we take bread, as we take cups, and as we acknowledge that you are God in all things. Amen.